Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 5 through 8. As the women were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men in clothes dazzling like lightning said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He isn't here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that it is necessary for the Son of Man to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. This is our text. No one was expecting this. An empty tomb, a risen body, an appearance by angels. The women certainly didn't expect this when they went to the tomb in the deep darkness on the first day of a new week. The 11 disciples and those who stayed home didn't expect this either. And even when they heard about it, they could hardly believe it. They couldn't comprehend what they were being told. What did they expect on that first Easter? The women expected to find the tomb sealed. Instead, they found that the stone had been rolled away. They expected to find the dead body of Jesus cold and rigid, a dead body desperately in need of spices to slow the decay and to mask the stench. The body wasn't there. No stench, no decay, no death. Their spices were absolutely useless. Everything was different than they expected. They couldn't figure it out. They'd seen that same body laid in the tomb, that same tomb, just at sunset on Friday. But now, on Sunday morning, the tomb is empty. It was perplexing. The disciples were equally confused, and when the women came running back, chattering about angels and resurrection, it seemed to them an idle tale, mere talk, nonsense. They found it unbelievable. No one was thinking about resurrection on the first Easter. No one was hoping that Jesus would be alive. No one even imagined that that could be possible. It was way beyond their dreams, way beyond their hopes, way, way beyond anything they could imagine. And really, how could they have expected the resurrection? Now, sure, Jesus had raised some dead people back to life before. There was the daughter of Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, the widow of Nain's son. There was his friend Lazarus lying in a tomb for 4 days. But none of them had been crucified. They had died, but they hadn't been intentionally, purposefully, maliciously, and horribly put to death at the hands of other men. And even though their lives were restored by Jesus, they weren't restored to a life free from sin, sickness, or death. It was back to the old life for them. So no one could have expected what happened with Jesus. Because Jesus was the first person ever to experience the full resurrection and the undying eternal life. He will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. This was totally new. This had never happened before in the whole history of the world. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, and where there are first fruits, there's a promise of second and third and fourth and many, many more to follow. Those women came expecting the sickly, rotten fruit of death. And in its place, they found a new fruit, as sweet and fresh as the day of creation, one that had never been seen before. And this fruit had fallen from the unlikeliest of trees, the cross. And it had been planted in the most unfriendly soil, the tomb. But where Jesus had been planted dead and lifeless, there spring arose and life came, and he rose from the dead. And with him came the life of the endless world to come, the life of a new heavens and a new earth in which the former things of sin and sickness and sorrow, those things shall not be remembered anymore. And just what did you expect to find at church this morning? If you came expecting to find a nice Easter breakfast, then you certainly weren't disappointed. If you came for the feel of spring and the fragrance of flowers and the sounds of a heavenly choir, your senses are being richly rewarded. If you came to see familiar faces and old friends, know that we're thrilled to see you too. And if you came because it's what you always do on Easter, because it's your tradition, or maybe to please mom or dad, or out of a sense of nostalgia, longing for something you had in the past, welcome back. And maybe you came looking for something deeper as well, looking for something more significant, maybe looking for answers to questions or for answers to prayers, for something to stop the pain, for something to stop the suffering and sorrow, for something to hold on to, for meaning or purpose or hope or a community, or maybe for God. Maybe, like so many in our time, you're not quite sure what you're looking for, or maybe even why you're here. For all of you, no matter what brought you here this morning, I have good news. The women that morning, when they went to the tomb on the first Easter, they didn't find what they were looking for. Yes, that's good news. If they had found what they were looking for, they would have found death, but they found what they weren't looking for, and it was way, way better. It was life. As the women were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, two angels in dazzling clothes like lightning said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He isn't here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that it is necessary for the Son of Man to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Friends, death is no longer the last word. It has lost its sting. The power of sin is broken. The devil's reign of terror has come to an end at last, because our Redeemer lives. As by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus lives. Jesus lives, and your sins are forgiven. Jesus lives, and your hope has a firm foundation. Jesus lives, and you shall live too. Jesus lives, and everything he ever said is trustworthy and is true. Long before Holy Week, long before those nails were driven into his wrists or the spear was thrust into his side, Jesus knew what was coming. He said he would suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And it happened just as he said. It happened according to the plan and the will of God. God let all of that happen. The suffering of Jesus, the rejection of Jesus, the death of Jesus by crucifixion, so that he could make Easter happen for you. So he could make Easter happen for you today. Sin and Satan did their worst to our Lord, and then God took everything and he put it backwards in reverse. On the third day, he raised him from the dead. Death gives way to life. Sin is forgiven. The devil's tongue is tied. Easter morning changed everything for these women. They remembered his words, and they believed his words. And then these women went and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest because they couldn't keep quiet about the living one, the one who is life himself. Whatever you expected to find, this is far better. Far better than whatever you may have dreamed of or hoped for or imagined, and this is real. The resurrection of Jesus really happened. Jesus really is alive now, and he really is reigning over all things, and we don't even know the half of it yet. But what we do know is this: he can be trusted. We can take him at his word, and everything happens just as he says. His suffering, his death, his resurrection, your forgiveness, your life in him, and yes, your resurrection. Because he's not done with you yet, and he's not done with your life, and he's not even done with us when we draw our last breath, or when the monitor goes flat, or when the casket is closed, or when the grass grows over our graves. There's more to come. And we can be sure of this, that God is at work. He is still at work in our lives, even through our deaths, at work for our good, even when everything suggests otherwise. And as proof of this already today, your Lord Jesus Christ has given you new life. It began in your baptism. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And this new life is fed in the Holy Communion. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of the risen Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of the risen Christ? Jesus Christ lives, and he is not far away. He is right here in his word, right here in his promises, right here in his holy gifts, just as he said, and not only on Easter, but on every single Sunday. And now we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And now we are waiting for the day when we will see him face to face. We are waiting for every tear to be wiped away for good. We are waiting for graves to be split open, for the dead to rise, for the end of all mourning and crying and pain, for the former things to pass away, for the joyful day when the countless host streams in through gates of pearl, and we who are in Christ will always be together with the risen Lord. And that, dear friends, is something you can expect. Just as he said, and just as he is risen from the dead, remember his words and declare them to others. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.